section of your Bible on page 115. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Because he lives. That anthem is wonderful, though we didn't sing that. We sang Amazing Grace. As I was looking at that, I was thinking, oh, because he lives, how beautiful that was, and how nice that would have been. But when you think of life's little interactions with us, you know, we set up a plan, and Becky picked some wonderful music. No, I wasn't. Oh, heaven forbid, Fran. No. I don't go there. That's the third rail. Don't blame Fran for that, because normally it's not Fran's fault, it's mine. But the point is that life changes on us. And when we print something and something else happens and something else occurs, think of it this way. When we sang Amazing Grace yesterday at Ron's memorial service, and when we were practicing, it was like, this is perfect. Because this supports the message of this scripture as adequately. Amazing grace, that Christ went to that cross for you and for me. Amazing grace that Christ is the fulfillment of these prophecies that are amazing beyond any belief. Hanging on a cross till your body is without blood, without life, without breath, laid in a tomb with a stone rolled over and sealed, and for those women, that Easter sunrise morning, that Easter sunrise, S-O-N, rise morning, when they ran, saw, went back with Peter and John, and they saw, and one looked in and believed, but they both left, and Mary stayed, looked, wept, saw the angels, heard the angels speak, saw Jesus, and she leaves to do what? To tell everybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Finishing up with that is the scripture that we have for today. Is they're in the upper room. It's that same day. The disciples are in that room, upper room. And as the Wesleyan gives us a little life application topic, it says the Apostle Thomas is often referred to as Doubting Thomas. He might be more correctly known as the Absent Thomas because he wasn't there. He wasn't there that first Sunday in that upper room. Look at what happens here. The doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked. Why? Because they were still living in fear that they were next. That they were going to be next. They hung Jesus on a cross. They were going to be next. And Jesus comes and stands among them and says, "Peace be with you." Can you imagine the amazement, the wonder that had been on their faces, in their hearts, in their minds? Holy moly, not only did this person just show up in the room, but this is the same Jesus Christ who we know was crucified and dead. And okay, James and John, or Peter and John, have said they saw the empty tomb, and Mary has said that she saw him. And after he said this, "Peace be with you." Now, think of this. Now, yesterday in the memorial service, one of the scriptures is John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled." And then he says, "My peace I leave you, not as the world gives you peace, but as Christ gives you peace." The word they use is shalom. It's not the absence of warfare. It's not the absence of animosity, but it is a real, true peace. It's a feeling of completeness. It is being at peace with everything. There's no turmoil. There's no anxiety. There's no bad feelings. There's no horror. There's no fear. It's just peace. And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I mean, to have incontrovertible, irrefutable, something that you can touch and see. Oh, hallelujah. How many of you are like that? You know, we got to see it. Got to see it. Got to touch it. Got to taste it. Got to believe. But we only believe after we've satisfied the other senses. Because we all know that there are a lot of things that, you know, somebody can talk a good story, but I want to see them walk the walk. We doubt sometimes. And certainly when it's so amazing that it defies logic, as this report of Jesus. But here's the second piece, and probably the most important. Because when he's in that upper room, and we know that Thomas is not there, when he's in that upper room with those other disciples, he breathes on them. He says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This peace is the first mention of that Holy Spirit that is breathed on those disciples in that upper room. And he's giving them a commission. Now, there's the Great Commission that we see in Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20, and Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 16, which is, "Go ye into all the world and preach my gospel." And this is the one that he delivers as he leaves before Pentecost, before the Holy Spirit comes and descends on all those 5,000 people that are waiting. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them with Jesus, when Jesus came. So can you imagine? They are trying to convince him that we saw him. Now, there had to have been something that they would have seen in their demeanor that caused, I want to believe, but I can't believe because I'm stuck in this. I know he's dead. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord," but he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hand, put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." He's making a choice. I will not believe. Oh, boy, I tell you, if I were there, I'd have believed. Let me walk back from that. How amazing was this? I mean, before we start throwing stones at doubting Thomas, let us think how miraculous, how amazing this occurrence is. One, it has never happened before in all of time. Sure, Lazarus, Jairus' daughter, and even Isaiah prayed over, and a son was given back to a mother. But there's never been, when a prophet wasn't standing out there, Jesus stood outside Lazarus' tomb and said, "Lazarus, come out." There's nobody there to work that miracle for Jesus. Jesus lays down his life and takes it back again. That's the amazing part of this. And Thomas is like any one of us. I want to see it to believe it. I need to see it to believe it. Why? Not because I doubt so much, but that it's hard for me to believe something so fantastic, so amazing. Yes, it's great, but what do they say about good news? If it sounds too good to be true, it probably isn't true. It would have been so good to know that Jesus is alive again for Thomas. But, you know, it's like, sounds too good to be true. So he waits an entire week. Can you imagine? Oh, the other disciples are, they have had the Holy Spirit breathed on them. They have been in the presence of the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They have seen, touched, felt. Oh, hallelujah, there is such joy and confidence and vitality and energy and belief in them because they've seen. How do you think that week was for Thomas? Oh, I wish I had been there. Oh, I wish I had been there. Oh, I wish I had seen. Is he ever going to come back? Am I going to get another chance? Did I miss my one opportunity? A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And he walks up to Thomas. He walks up to Thomas and says, "Put your finger here. My hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." In my mind's eye, I see Jesus walking up to Thomas, and I see Thomas falling on his knees in disbelief and wonder. And, oh, hallelujah, Father. Oh, Lord, forgive me for my doubt. And when Jesus says, "Touch my hands, put your hands in my hands, put your hands in the holes in my hands and in my side, do not doubt, but believe," Thomas is, Oh, I believe. Oh, I believe. I believe. I believe. Ah, can you imagine the joy and the wonder that almost tripped me up for that robe? I got to watch these robes. But the point is not the theatrics. The point is not any of that, but look at how Jesus interacts with his disciples, and look at how he interacts with Thomas. And it's out of love. It's out of love and a measure of grace that's... Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Nobody can make you believe. Nobody can make you believe. You either believe or you don't believe. In Romans it says, confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he died for you and that you have that eternal life because of him, and you're saved. The simplest of things is to believe, but also one of the most difficult, especially when it's so amazing. Especially when I know all the stuff I've done. I know all the skeletons in my closet. And I haven't been such a good person. And yet he died for me. And not only that, he died for the two thieves on the cross, even though only one of them said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. We all have choices. Do you believe? Do you believe because you've heard? Do you believe because you've seen? Do you believe because someone else has told you? Host of reasons to believe. Host of reasons to find challenge and not believe. But we need, I believe, to believe because we believe. And on that rock-like faith, the kingdom of heaven is founded. How amazing is it? Absolutely amazing. But you know what? It's going to be great. I believe. I hope and pray that you believe as well. Shalom.